Right, good evening, Abayisai. Good evening, good evening. Okay, we're up to Hilchas Betzias HaPasim Kuf Samach Zayin. We had a bit of a start yesterday. We're going to move on. Mokam Zman Betziah Miu Boit Umiya Boitzea Psif Aleph. So I'm starting again from Sif Aleph. Boitzea Pasim Mokam Shenef. Hey, Teva, person should Boitzea, well, to cut really, the bread in a place which is baked well. For past the dawn with our bread, nowadays where there is not necessarily an area which is more baked than others, everything is baked very thoroughly, it doesn't really matter. And you should cut thoroughly where you're gonna cut it. He explains Ma'at. He says as follows: when you cut, you should cut in a way that as you're cutting a little bit. Again, we're talking about in the times of Chazal where the bread wasn't so easy to cut. And I assume also the knives that they had weren't so great as we have got nowadays, I assume. But certainly the bread. So he said you should cut a little bit before you actually cut, before the bracha, you should cut a little bit, but don't cut in so much that when you're going to lift up the smaller part, that the whole thing is going to break off. So don't cut so deep. You're going to cut in a minute, but now just cut a little bit. But don't cut as deep that if you were to lift it up, the other side is going to crack. You have to cut in a way that the remains of the bread will be lifted with it. So it's not going to crack. Because if not so, it's considered cut already. You've basically cut the chal already. You've cut the bread already. And you should remain connected to the bread. You then make a brocha. After you've done a little bit of cutting, you then make the brocha. After you've completed the brocha, you then cut it completely. You separate it. Kedei in order. Shetichle brocha. Once you've completed, the rule is, we're going to learn those halachas in a later stage, there's a rule of sholem, complete. You make the bracha on a complete item as opposed to a semi-complete, a cut item. It has to be complete, sholem. The bracha is more respectful if the bracha goes on a sholem. Consequently, it would be considered not sholem. If you cut the challah in a way that you've cut already quite deep, and now you're going to make the bracha, so it's going to be considered really not sholem anymore. If you made a little indentation, that's fine. But if you cut it so deep that if you were to lift it up, it's going to crack, you've gone too far. So it has to be a slight... Now, the reason why we do this slight cutting is because historically, as we learn in the Sa'if, that it would often be hard to cut through. Nowadays, it's not really so relevant, but nevertheless, it's still right to make a little bit of a cut before you make the bracha. A little bit. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, then you take it. You should, if you can't find it, then leave it. You 100%. I know exactly what you mean. It happens to me as well. So don't bother. Just keep going. Yeah. The reason for cutting, because historically, if you wouldn't do that, you wouldn't know exactly where to cut. What's the baked area, the not baked area? You're going to be starting. It's going to take you a long time to cut. We're trying to make sure that after the bracha, you can straight away cut and start eating the amotzi. So we want to try to. But nowadays, the truth is, you can just. But nevertheless, we still. So the same halach will apply. You try. You mean historically or nowadays? In the times of. So in the times of the Mishnahs or the Shulchan Aruch, you'd still try to find out where the place is that is the most baked, because that's where you want to what you want to eat first. So you'd like break off a little bit there, but again you'd make sure that you're not cutting it in such a so deeply that if you were to lift it up, it's going to crack. So you make a slight. Nowadays, I don't know if it's possible to do that. If it is, you should still do it. I'm just not sure. I had that doubt myself. Is there any way you could break a little bit in a, I don't know if it's shaykh. The poskim say nowadays, if you've got a very small, which Shulchan Aruch says it, if you've got a very small challah, mamash like one of those, bar simcha, so small one, for, you know, the small ones. So I don't know if that applies at all. I'm not even sure that it would apply I'm not sure.
Why do you only do this on Shabbos?
So the truth is that, the, Why don't we, or why do we only? Okay, because if it's cut already, well, so the truth is that there's no reason why not. On the contrary, you see the Rama says, Rama is going to say in a minute, let's and when you cut the bread, don't make it too small. And when you cut that slice of bread, don't make it too thin, because you're going to look like a stingy fellow. So don't cut too narrow. Don't make it like, you know, you're giving out chalas now, you're going to make like this mingy piece. Don't be so stingy. Don't make it bigger than the egg side, because you will appear like a ravoson, what's the word? Like overeating, like that's right. So don't you have to find the golden midway. Not too thin, because you're going to look like a stingy person, not too much, because that's overdoing it. Let me just finish the Ramah for a second. On Shabbos, you shouldn't do that at all. There is even more problem because of Lechem Mishneh, Kedisha Akikor Shlemus. He is referring to Lechem Mishneh. But Lechem Mishneh is an additional problem. On Shabbos, an additional problem, Lechem Mishneh. So never mind, if you're cutting, you're going to have a problem of Sholem, of the Sholem with regards to Brocha. On Shabbos, you have an additional problem of Lechem Mishneh. So you can't have a Lechem Mishneh if it's half cut. It's lacking in Lechem Mishneh. So on Shabbos, you must be particularly careful. And he says, on Shabbos, don't cut at all. The first opinion says, in the name of the Modcha, if you did cut a little bit, you made a bit of indentation on Shabbos, that's not a problem either. It's not enemazik, it doesn't harm. So, Lemaisa, I believe that's already a minik. I think that most people have the minik to make a bit of a cut on Shabbos as well. But, according to the Ramah, if somebody doesn't do that, they seem to be Rishonim, that all day it shouldn't actually cut on Shabbos because you're going to have a problem of Lechem Mishneh. Can I just finish the Ramah? Venira, it appears, hard to leave to Yosim Kebetza, that you don't cut more than a Kebetza. Hainu Dafke Bechoil, Vaoi Chalevadoi. The fact that we mustn't cut a huge piece of Chale, that's Dafke on weekdays, Vaoi Chalevadoi, if you're on your own. Avol, Beshabbos, but on Shabbos, Oi. Alternatively, Kshoichlim Habib Neodom, Vetzorichlitim in Apusa, Lekol Echot Kzais. He said that if you're, for whatever the reason is, that either on Shabbos or on weekdays, there's many people around you, then you, Tzorichlitim in Apusa, you need to give from the Chale, everybody needs to have a Kzais of the Chale from the Chales, so you're allowed to give more than a Kzais, you're allowed to give a Kebetza, Lekol Echot Kzais, you're allowed to give everybody a Kzais, Mutarif Tzorik, if you must have Tzorichlo, you're allowed to give as much as necessary for everybody. So again, the halacha normally is, don't give too little, because it's going to be too mingy, don't give too much, because you look like you're overdoing it. It's so the Ramah says that's not necessarily true. On Shabbos, you're allowed to give everybody more, because ideally everybody should have a kizayis from the challah. So you're allowed to give a bit more. It doesn't matter. Similarly, if you're eating on your own, you're also allowed to cut a bigger piece, because you're anyway going to be the one eating it. So it's fine as well. Yeah.
What if you pick up the challah and without cutting
your tendon? No. Because it's going to be because of your cutting, Lemaisa. So that what will happen? Yeah, because the answer is it's still a problem because it was going to be lacking in Sholem because of your cutting. The bracha will be a problem because you have cut it already in a way that it's not Sholem anymore. It's not considered Sholem anymore. It's lacking intrinsically. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but on Shabbos for two reasons, on weekday for one reason. We'll speak more about Sholem when we get to Hilchos Brachos as a later point. Yeah. Good, yeah.
I've seen some people not cutting, but breaking it just with
their
hands.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Yeah. Yeah. The truth is, it doesn't really matter how you're cutting it, by hand or by knife. It doesn't really matter. But the same halacha will apply. Yeah.
Rosh Hashiva will explain on this whole, not just in the Kazai, but on the Kabeza thing, because apparently there was a new type of yeast that was discovered or whatever, started to be used a couple hundred years ago. You actually need to tell me who it was who started using it, whatever. It gave more details than this. But the bread used to be very dense and not fluffy. And so it was just a different amount of food.
I see. That's very interesting.
And so the halakha, it was based on a different type of bread. Now we have fluffy bread.
Very interesting. There will be very nagya in a few simonim, about next week or so, when we speak about Tzuras Pasta, it'll be very interesting. We'll have to revisit that. Sounds a really interesting point. We'll have to get back to that. Yeah. Okay. You see, base. See, base. Yevorech Amoitzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, the person should make the bracha of Amoitzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. We're up to Amoitzi now. Vim Rabbi Mesubim, if there's many people around the table, then Yechavnu Libam Lishmoy Abracha, they should all be Yoitzi with the, they should all be listening to the bracha of the Balabais. Bi'an Omen, they should say Omen. So that's a very positive instruction over here. When there is a Balabais making Amoitzi, the people around the table, they must not make hamotzi. They should positively not make hamotzi. They should just say amen. Because you see sometimes people who feel like uncomfortable about it, and they're naturally, instinctively going to make hamotzi. And that is wrong. They do not make hamotzi. Only the balabais make hamotzi, and they will listen, they'll say amen, and that's it. Then comes the fascinating remark, which remains a bit of an enigma. It's a bit of a mystery, this remark over here. Now this is a bit of a mystery. The mevorech, the one who makes the bracha, yichavin le'omen, he should listen to the omen carefully, showing him that they say. They should, so again, a person, the balabais, says hamotzi, people around the table, they listen, they say omen. They heard the bracha of the balabais, they say omen, and the balabais in turn, he listens to the omen, he has to have kavana of the omen, of the people around the table. Why on earth? Why? Why? I mean, it's very nice. Always nice to say omen, but what's going on with him? Well, he has to have kavanah for the omen. Why? Why does he need to? The one who makes the bracha, he needs to have kavanah for the omen that they say. Yeah.
Because they used to say omen to their own brachas.
No, you can't say omen to your own bracha. So anyway, well, why should he have kavanah to the omen of the people around the table?
Because he's not saying omen to his own bracha, he likes to have kavanah when other people say omen to his bracha.
So, the Mishnah Berurah said over here a couple of points. They've got Yudches, Yudtes, and Chof. The Mishnah Berurah says as follows: Yichavnu libam with regards to them, they have to hear the amotzi. They all want to be yotze with the bracha of their friends. They need to concentrate on the bracha of the balabais to hear that. And then if they listen to the bracha of the balabais, then as if they say the bracha themselves. Okay. They must say omen. And by replying and saying Hashem is ames adav, by saying emes, amen, it's correct, it's true. Hoz nechshav, then it is considered kilu mevorich la'atzmoi. It's considered as if they made the bracha themselves. Umnikom okim nevertheless bedievet enu me'akev. Zalochin reishu gimel that with regards to a mutzi, if they didn't say amen, they are still yoitze. But lechatchila very very much so, they should say amen. But if they didn't say amen, they'll still be yotze b'diavad. Now comes this interesting sifkot and chof. Hamivorech Rabin. Danias amen by saying amen. Gam kein bichlal habrochi. Amen is part of the brocha. Ve'af al gav tu berach kvar me'atzmoi. And although he made the brocha already himself, so why does he need the amen of the people around the table? Why does he need their amen? He has said a brocha already. Mikol makom nevertheless al yedei she'oinim amen oleh. The bracha increases in importance in chashivas if you hear an amen from somebody else. So your bracha becomes more chashuv if somebody says amen to it. So you better listen to that amen. Correct. Very good. And therefore it's said you should have kavanah by listening to omen to other. So what appears for me very, very good. That's what the Bialocha seems to be saying. And I must say the Bialocha remains in the Tzorchian at the end. He's not 100% convinced. But it appears for me, we're learning from here, Yesoid, that an omen is part of the, an omen, your omen to my bracha makes my bracha more choshuv. And that's why I have to listen to it. And that is not like, absolutely as you're saying. That will not necessarily be a rule with regards to a motzi. That will be a rule with regards to any brochas. That if I make a brocha and you say amen, my brocha becomes more choshuv. And therefore it's kedai for me to listen to your amen. And that will be a rule for any brochas. And it's a big chiddush. And there's only one mekoyah for that, and that is over here. I believe it's one of the very few mekoyahs that this is. But that, we know there's some tzaddikim, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, and all the Gidoilim were very makbet that he would never make a brocha if it would be unheard. If it would be the only one, if, yeah, you heard stories of Chaim Volozhiner, the famous story of Chaim Volozhiner, his story of Vahanik Vilna gone. Some Alik and Tzadik and Gdali were very makpid. They would only make a bracha if somebody would say amen to it. If there would be nobody saying amen, they wouldn't make a bracha. In the middle of the night, how things happen, they were very thirsty, very hungry, they want to make a bracha. Nobody said amen. No, so they didn't, you know, all those. So that's the makor. That would be the makor for that. That there is an inyan of making a bracha and ensuring somebody says amen to it. That would be the source.
If you're making a bracha on your own, let's say you're having that.
So,
you don't say amen to your own bracha.
You will not. You will not make a bracha. That, certainly you can't make a bracha to your own. You certainly can't say amen to your own bracha.
You
certainly do, yeah. So what the Shulchan Aruch says over here is that if you can ensure somebody says amen to it, that's even better. But yeah, yeah, yeah. They will not. They can't because not Shalem. Yep. That's exactly what I pointed out before, that this is very important, that they should be, if they make their own hamotzi, they are losing on shalem. Unless they've got their own chalas. But if they don't have a chalas, they're lacking in shalem. He's making a bracha with all the hiduim. He's got shalem, he's got lechemishna, he's got all everything. And he's moitzi them, and they can say, oh man, and even if it takes a few seconds until they eat, that's fine. But if they make hamotzi, and they have a slice of the challah, it's a very big, but yeah, it's not a shalem. I know that some people are making mistakes, but I don't know what the limud chos is, I don't know. Yeah.
It's
not
bracha, it's not
in
the
hamotzi, some
bracha is also saying afterwards, benching.
Yeah, there's few exceptions, correct. And all those have to be investigated, because you're right, but Uvnei Yerushalayim, we find that it's a few exceptions that we say Amen, and they all need for on your own bracha, and that needs to be investigated. It's not the rule. There's a lot of exceptions. Continues the bottom line. Yeah, when you say Amotzi Lechem Min Oretz, you need to make sure that it's a Lechem Min. It's not Lechem Min, it's Lechem Min Oretz. Continues the Shulchan Aruch Siv Gimel. You must not make a bracha until you have actually toifes, you're holding. You must hold the bread, you must hold it. Don't make a bracha without holding the item. You must hold it. Mishnah Berurah explains, this is the general rule of thumb, that Kodim Shitfa She'ein Mevachin, you do not make a bracha on mitzvahs, Elo, only Samach Lasiyason, prior to, you need to straight away, Samach Lasiyason, make a bracha, and then you fulfill the mitzvah. Sha'a mitzvah biyod la'asoysa v'lo kodim l'kein. The mitzvah needs to be very, very literally in your hands. So you hold the challah, you hold the bread when you make a motzi. Yeah. Siv Dalet. Yitain shtei yodov al hapas. Now that's very interesting. Have you ever seen Yidden who hold the, when they make hamotzi, they put their hands on the bread? On. Have you ever seen that? Some rabbis do it. Some rabbis do it, and I think some Sfadim do it as well. So they put their hands on. Have you ever seen it? So holding it there. So the makor for that, that's the Shulchan Aruch. That's exactly what Shulchan Aruch says. Yitain shtei yodov, we should put both hands al hapas, on the bread, b'shas habacha, when it makes the bracha. So don't hold it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't hold it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you put your hands on the bread. Sheyesh ben Esra etzbois, because you've got 10 fingers, Esra etzbois, and the 10 fingers should be on the bread. Keneged Esra mitzvahs, in representing the 10 mitzvahs at Luis Bapas. There is 10 mitzvahs when it comes to bread. You need to fulfill, you need to go through 10 mitzvahs until you reach the bread. What are the 10 mitzvahs? Mishnah Berurah Sifkat Chof Dalet tells us, Ke'esa mitzvahs, Odom oise, Ad shelo yoichal pusis pas. A person is going through 10 mitzvahs until he reaches the bread. Pesha Zacharisha, Lo yisachosh b'shoil, V'chamoyer yachtov, it's kilayim. That's number one. Pesha Zazriya, Sotcho lo yisizah kilayim. That's number two. Pesha Zdisha, Lo yisachosh b'shoil b'disha, not to put muzzle on the oxen. That's number three. Leket is number four. Shikha is number five. Peor is number six. Tumer, Maisa, Rishon Maaseh, Shen V'chalem. Up to 10. There's 10 mitzvahs that a person is going to do until, or that people are going to do, that somebody's going to do, until he reaches the bread. And that's why we put 10 fingers on the bread, 10 mitzvahs, till you reach the bread. Therefore, there's 10 words in Birkas HaMotzi. Have you noticed that? Have you ever seen some people count for minyan? Yeah, have you ever seen that? So either you do a Shir Samecha or you do a HaMotzi. It's also 10. Yeah? When you have really hungry lunchtime, you need a minion for mincha, it's going to be a moitzi lechem, or it's going to be 10 as well. So that's 10. Which also a pasuk of bracha also has 10 words, and that's why we do the 10 fingers on the bread. It's also 10 words in that pasuk. That's also 10 words in that pasuk. It's also 10 words. All those represent the 10 where we have we put our 10 fingers on the bread. So we've got a few reasons, either because of the 10 mitzvahs or because of the pasuk of Matzmiach Chotzil Behema, the Pasuk of Ener Kol Echo Zaberu, Pasuk of Eretz Chitos Oira, Pasuk of Yitna Lecho, they're all 10. And that's why we're putting our 10 fingers on the bread. Pasuk, Siv Hei. Siv Gimel. Yeah, no, so I think that it's not arguing, and what it means is that it's the way that you should put it on. So the way you should put it on is by holding it. You put your hands on, but you're holding it. But you're right, I think it's true to emphasize that the minhag is not like Shulchan Aruch. I think the minhag is to do the Siv Gimel in a very literal way. That you're going to be holding it, as opposed to putting your hand on it. But like Shulchan Aruch, it's not a contradiction. He'll be holding it in a way that to put his hand on top. It would even, no. Correct, it doesn't have to be two. Ten fingers, and it could be one chal as well. Save Dalet. Excuse me, save Hey. Lo yivtza ad shevo lefono melech oy lifton. Okay. Don't make a bracha, and don't cut until you've got in front of you melech, which is salt oy lifton. Says the Ramah. I'm not sure it's the Ramah, but Perish Rashi kol davar necholim apas. Any food that is being eaten with a bread will be considered a lifton. Lelafes boy puts his abetzia. You're going to make the bracha of amoitzi. You're going to cut. You're going to do that only when you have either salt or something to put on the bread to make it. We'll see soon why. So you need either salt or some additional food to put on the bread. The laugh is by Pusa Batsir. Why is that? Why is that? So the Mishnah we've got Sifkotten Chofei. Lo yivtza mimele tzorich lezoy mehalaschil levorich habrocha. You should therefore wait until you make the bracha. Wait, don't make the bracha until you've got a bit of salt there. Don't make the bracha. Rather wait a bit. And if you've made the bracha, then wait a second until the salt is brought. Sifkot nchav zayin. Melech lift on first word line. Kedesh din echeles betam. Mishum kovod habracha. The first reason why. So why do we need salt? First reason is kedei in order to necheles betam mishum kovod habracha. The first reason, which is the main reason why we need salt, is because kovod habracha. It's a bit tasty. You wanna make the bracha on a bit more on something tasty. So you're gonna have the bread you're gonna have with a bit of salt to make the drop more tasty.
Why can't you use something else like pepper?
So in theory, that's what the lifton is. Lifton is if you'd like to have. At this point, we're gonna get to the Ramah. But at this point, if you love bread with pepper, that's what it's perfectly acceptable.
I was once a long time ago at somebody's, and their minhag was not have salt at all. Just cut the challah, but don't. And they had a minhag apparently that they didn't have salt. I don't know why, but I mean, that came from.
They don't have salt. What did they do? Anything with the bread or nothing?
No, they just nothing.
Just nothing. Yeah. Okay. We'll see. There is a bit of explanation. We'll see. We'll see why that may be explained a bit. We'll see soon. But it's definitely not the best practice according to the Ramah. Okay, yeah.
Maybe another shot is maybe on the sword, but I have the sword and the bread together because a sword is presented like bitter. It presents like something bitter and the challah presents something.
Salt is not really bitter. Salt is not really bitter. Salt.
Like something to do with some bit.
I think what you're referring to is the Ramah. We'll get to that, but unfortunately not tonight. Before I recap, I just wanted to quickly mention something which somebody sent me a text asking. I failed to mention in Hilchos Netilas HaDayim, and her point, which the Mishnah Berurah doesn't really go to town about it, but it's in Kuf Nun Ches, Kuf Samech, and Kuf Samech Beis. The Mishnah Berurah does say the ideal way of washing hand in Tilas Adayim is by you raise the keli with your right hand. So I'm just going back to Tilas Adayim for 1 second. You raise the keli with the right hand, you then pass it on to the left hand. You then pour it once on the right hand, and you then pass it on to the left hand, and you do that 2 times. So once it is true, it's not explicit, some people, they raise with the right hand, pass on to the left hand, and then they pull twice on the right hand, and then they pull twice on the left hand. It appears, it's my understanding from the Mishnah Berurah, that's not the best way. It's definitely okay. But it appears from the Mishnah Berurah that the best way to do it is, I'm repeating, you fill up the keli, you lift up with the right hand, that's everybody agrees. You lift up with the right hand, you pass on to the left hand, that also everybody agrees. But now, it appears from the Mishnah Berurah that the best way is you pull once on your right hand, more than a quite a lot, more than Rav Yis, and you then pour onto the left hand. If you need to refill, you're going to refill it then. And then you pass it on to the right hand again, the Mayim Shniyim, and Mayim Shniyim on the left hand. I am aware that there are some, the stipler, the Chazanish, and other Gedolim, they didn't do the way I just explained it now. They did right, lift up with the right hand, pass on to the left hand, once, twice, right hand, once, twice, left hand. It could be, and it's, I mean, as I said, many Gedolim were knowing like that. But all I can say is that the way I understand the Mishnah Berurah is that's not the best, that's not what the Mishnah Berurah seems to be holding. But again, it's only Lechatchilas within, and it's, just want to mention that. Okay, good. We'll carry on in this sif tomorrow, Mishnah.